The first legal document I think I ever wrote was a contract I wrote on behalf of me and my two younger brothers to try to convince my dad to get us a dog. That we had seen this dog at the animal shelter, we had wanted to take it in, and we're writing this contract agreeing to always walk it and feed it and take care of it if he'd allow us to get it. That I don't think he needed a lot of convincing, but he did get the dog. We, of course, did not exactly follow through on our contract. I was the oldest and would have been about maybe 10 years old at the time. But my dad framed the contract and put it up in our house so that we could walk in and see it. And then every time we go by it, we'd be reminded, and maybe it would encourage us to walk the dog or do other things in that contract. We have been talking about the Old Testament. And really, we think of the idea, the only really other use I know that we use testament nowadays is often a will and testament or something like that in regards to legal things, that the word testament is connected with this idea of a contract, an agreement. Or really, I think the best word for us is covenant. A covenant, talking about agreement between human beings and God, this relationship that's bound in some way on these promises and this connection. That the Old Testament is really a series of these different covenants. It's more than one, beginning with Adam and Eve, moving through with Noah and Abraham and Moses and King David, preparing the way. We talked about a way that the kind of the purpose of this period, what was being done in all of this, was preparation for Christ, for that covenant that would completely heal that wound, restoring that purpose in order to creation, healing that separation, sharing that life of God with us. But if we think then again about its structure is these covenants. These covenants really give the structure to seeing that purpose work out. That these covenants expand and deepen the promises of God. That in each different one, as we read about them, we can see an image of what that new covenant will be. That the new covenant that comes in Christ is the fulfillment on all of these. That Christ in his person takes everything to himself. That the issue in the gospel that starts is their murmuring about who Jesus is. And they say, we know his father and mother, don't we? And Jesus kind of, after that, speaks directly about the father who sent him, who is not Joseph, who they're thinking of. The father who sent him, who is God the Father. That the aspect they don't know about him is that he is the eternal Son of God. That in himself, he has this power. And this is what makes his covenant different, or the New Testament different from all the old ones in the past. That it's God entering in to really fulfill our half, to allow us to have a true fulfillment of the promises that we can make. That on the cross, Christ is able to unite truly our human nature, truly being having taken a human nature, truly born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, having the body, the flesh that he will give for the life of the world, truly one of us. But also, as also true God, the divine nature, that ability to love God, to know and love us perfectly, to be able in himself to make that perfect act of love, that faithful placement of trust in God. Because if the original break, you think of the original sin of Adam and Eve, revolved around this mistrust of God, this sense that God wasn't trustworthy, that we needed to break from God to really find fulfillment, that in the commandments of God we were being kept from the fullness of life. Adam and Eve taking that fruit that shows the symbolism, that Christ is the opposite, saying that God is trustworthy even into death, that he would rather be faithful to God and die on the cross than to seek fulfillment somewhere else. That in this offering of himself on the cross, we can see how that is kind of reversed. And that again, we have now this covenant that's sealed and made firm on that perfect love of Christ that we're invited then into ourself and our own cooperation and freedom. That this new covenant then can be everlasting. That this is what we'll kind of continue with. Because there's really, I think, one more point that we need to understand to kind of see this whole drama about the development of these covenants, of what leads to Christ and what does it mean to believe in Christ as the Savior and His covenant is the question of the sign. Because going back to the Old Testament, all of the covenants, God gave a sign, a concrete event, concrete symbol, something to look at, to celebrate, to see the renewal of this promise. You know, just as I mentioned, my dad had framed our contract as a reminder. You know, these moments were sacred reminders of the covenant. We think of the symbol of the tree of circumcision, of Abraham with Moses, of the Passover meal, the offering and the worship in the temple. You know, these concrete moments that kind of renewed and celebrated and called to mind and refreshed the covenant. That is the new covenant the only one without one? You know, we think no. That we, as Catholics, look and we say, well, where do we see the concrete celebration for us of this covenant? A hint as we begin to prepare for our liturgy of the Eucharist. But this is what we'll really discuss. Where can we concretely see, celebrate, and commemorate this eternal covenant of Christ?